Today, the message, the title of the message is, We Are Wonderfully Made. Point to your neighbor and say, you are a beautiful creature. Come on. Woo, you are a beautiful man. Josh, you're a beautiful man. You're a beautiful man. Well, happy anniversary, Denise. And while we were out on our getaway, happy anniversary, our 16 years of bliss. 16 years of bliss. If you push that word a little farther, it's called blister. But we've had 16 years of wonderful bliss. Amen. But I tell you what, we've had a wonderful 16 years. We had some highs and we've had some lows. But yeah, we've had some low. But we had some highs too. And sometimes the highs can even hurt, if you know what I mean. But this week we saw some of the most beautiful artwork God has ever created and around us at the Grand Canyon. Amen. Sedona, Arizona is one of the most beautiful cities in the world and can be passed by if you blink. We got to go on this trip, and I think I know I kind of ruined the trip because I didn't feel well. So I told everybody, just go to the canyon. I'll stay here at the hotel and cry in my pillow. No. I said, you know, I just need to relax. And really, I went to rest anyway. I could just watch some TV because they had cable and everything, you know. And I could just sit here and watch TV and you guys go. But they said, no, let's go. We'll go home right now. I said, no, I'm not going to ruin the trip. So Pete said, let's just drive. Let's just get a little lower, which he was right. We went down a little lower altitude. I even got out of the car and ran down a cliff, took some pictures, and ran back up while Denise is screaming at the top of her lungs. No, you're killing yourself. But I had to go just for even to test myself. Anybody else like that? I had to do it for me anyway, but I got a beautiful picture of a canyon. And you were there? Oh, that's right, you were in the car. But it is. It is a beautiful city. If you've never been there, drive there. It's a beautiful drive, these red rocks. The city, it's like, you know, in a little area, you know, it's all red rock. But if you could drive through it and you blink and you can miss the city. You really can. It's a small city. Amen. And while we were traveling in this time of rest and relaxation, it's important that when you travel, listen, that you find some compatible travel companions. And Pete and Lute said this time that they're going to find some of those for their next trip. Some of them good travel partners. So it's important that you find people that you like to go on vacation. Don't ever take somebody you dislike on vacation. You'll dislike them even more by the time the vacation's over. But Pete said they're going to find some of them kind of on this next one. Now, we always love and have a great time together. And thank you guys for the wonderful trip. Luby's in there. She's not hearing me right now. But they really helped make our trip. And it was a wonderful trip. Amen. But we love you. And thank you for putting up with me. Listen, God's beautiful artwork is never built in a hurry. He is the potter and we are the clay. You need to understand something, that today God is an artist by all things. Everything about him is beautiful. So why wouldn't he create beautiful things? Whatever God makes is beautiful. We destroy it. Let's get something straight right now. We destroy the work that God does. He never makes a mistake. He never mars something. We're the ones that damage the goods. Can I get an amen? But anyway, today we're going to seek for the answer to why God doesn't answer, listen, our prayers instantly, and perhaps why he makes us wait longer than we'd like to wait. Is anybody waiting on an answer this morning? God is saying that, you know what, you need to understand something, because the wisdom, he said, in everything get understanding. This is what God said, in everything get understanding. Today we need to know why God waits. Because some of us can get a little, we even talked about last week. Last week we said that hope deferred make a heart sick, right? So when God starts to linger or starts to go on, or as the enemy starts to attack, we start to grow weary. The Bible also says don't go weary in well-doing. But why is it that the longer God takes, the weaker we get? When the Bible says that when I am weak, what? He is strong. So why do we grow weak? But it's not the weakness that he's worried about. It's not this and that. It's when we don't believe God can do what he can do. So today we're going to seek the answer. Go with me to John in chapter 11. We're going to begin in verse 1. If you have your Bibles this morning, open them up. John 11, verse 1 says, Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister and Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent him, saying, Lord, behold, him who you love is sick. And Jesus heard that and said, his sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he had heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place that he was. Then after he said, now let us go to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning that, Lord, you only wait for us to be in the perfect place to receive what you have for us. Lord, your answer prayers is life, everlasting life, and to live more abundantly. You said, I came to give you life and life more abundant. He's not talking about having more things. He's not talking about everything else, but the abundant life that you speak about, Lord, is more than that. It's completeness and whole. And Lord, when we lack, we cry out. We're like babies. When we're hungry, we cry out. But Father, let us today have wisdom and get understanding of how much you love us, that you are creating something perfect in us. And so, Lord, do your work as we sit on the wheel. Lord, move the clay. Create something in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we know the story of Lazarus. He was the brother of Martha and Mary, and how he had fallen sick, very sick. Amen. But the sisters cried out to Jesus to come and heal Lazarus, for it was urgent. Say urgent this morning. Anybody know what urgent? Ever have an urgent need for something? Man, when you're on the side of the road with trucks are flying by you, you need somebody to get there to change your tire urgently, right? You're supposed to. No, when some of the men are like, yeah, get your jack out. No, but I'll tell you what, I need AAA to get there urgently. Just me. Amen. But we have urgent needs. Say urgent. This is an important word this morning. Urgent is meaning, you know what, isn't it true that when you really need God, you pray longer? Putting you through the test this morning, someone said, nah, I pray the same every time. I look at my toenails and say, oh, I wish they were cut today. That's a pretty short little prayer there. Or, oh, Lord, heal my heart, I'll be better. I'll swear this time I'll serve you. Oh, don't kill me today. Well, man, we get longer. The more urgent we have of God need that we pray longer. It's just a fact. It's a fact that we'll spend more time in the presence of God if we have a need for God. Come on. Let's be real this morning. Let's just be real. So I'm going to just tell you something. Maybe we need God a little more. Maybe we need a move of God a little more than we're acting sometimes. Maybe we need something to really happen to get us in the things of God. When things happen, I say, Lord, you're wanting to do something. When the enemy attacks, when terrorism happens, France was recently hit a bunch of times, they're still attacked by terrorism, but they have taken God out of France. And I say this, God, man, what are you doing? Because you're trying to get a hold of them. He's not coming against them, but he's allowing things to happen. Things happen, even in my life. Now we know the story of Lazarus. He was a brother to Martha and Mary. And he had fallen sick, very sick. Anybody ever have that urgent situation? You ever think that Jesus doesn't love us because he doesn't answer us right away? Do you ever feel like that? Well, maybe God is just, I'm not that important to God. Now, if I was Billy Graham, if I was Pastor Denise, I tell her every morning, I say, the reason I'm still living, because you're down there crying out to God while I'm sleeping. I said, it's your fault. Come on. No, God always loves us. even when we don't love him back. Come on. God loves the sinner, but hates the sin. Any sinners here today? Come on. God's working on us. We're a work in progress. Even when all seems lost in the fire, God will do what it deems necessary for the glory of God. Not for his benefit, but for ours. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold on. We got to grab something here. I don't want to get past this too far. All for the glory of God. God does things for his glory. And I'm going to tell you, he does everything for his glory. You know why? He needs to be the supreme God in your life. All the glory needs to go to God. You know why? Because he needs to know that he's your God. You know, some of us want God to do some things sometimes, but sometimes our other God wants us to do some things too for them. When we fall into sin, when we fall into temptation, we are serving another God. When I start to do things I'm not supposed to be doing, I'm lifting up the hands of another God. All glory to God. But watch. He doesn't do it when it all seems lost. We're in the fire. It's not for his benefit, but God's. John 11, 32 says this. Hold on, let me get a drink. I'm getting too excited. Woo, man, have you seen the rest of this? You'd be excited too. That's as good preaching. I want to sit down and look at myself. Hallelujah. 11 and 32 said this. Then when Mary came, there Jesus was, and Jesus and saw him and fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Do you sense the discouragement a little bit here? Do you sense talking to God and said, Lord, if you had already been here in time, I wouldn't have missed that promotion. Why did he marry that other man? He was supposed to be my man. What? Lord, if he had only been here, my brother would have not died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him? And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? See, there's a little question on God sometime. Now God, who goes and does all this stuff for some very special people, he can't heal Pastor Dennis's heart? Don't you know he's the pastor? He's not Josh. Or Jose. He's the pastor. He needs to heal him. Don't we question God sometimes? Anybody else? Now, I don't question about Josh or Jose. I do question about myself. Why would you want to heal me, Lord? You know the real Dennis. Maybe we need to talk to God like that for ourselves. You know, Lord, I put up a pretty good impression, but maybe you know the truth. Come on. Lord, why haven't you taken me already? Glory. Here it is, the shortest verse in the Bible. You ready? 35, Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible, but probably the strongest verse ever. Shortest but strongest. You know why? Because it shows us that God has a heart. The Lord has some feelings here. That he's not just up there supervising something with no callous regard for someone else's life. He's just not putting people in position like, oh, they're worth losing. Oh, we need this one here. And oh, he's doing good here. And that one's doing bad now. No, the Lord wept. We need to see something today that God cares for you. He is an emotional God. He has feelings too. You don't know how important this is to me, Lord. And he's looking at us like, really? You don't know how important you are to me. We see his great love for us and our difficulties. God has a heart. In verse 38, John 11, 38 says this. Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and by the stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. Listen, it ain't over until it's over. I tell you, there has been things in my Christian life that I thought, oh, Lord, you missed it. Man, you missed it, God. Anybody else? We don't understand what God is doing at any given moment. We see things and we think, oh, that's it. I've lost him forever. We don't know what's going on in God's life. We're not God. We're not in his mind. We don't know. We have no, we can never, we can't even fathom what God is thinking. He is so great. Lord, he had been dead for 4 days. To me and you, he would really stink at looking dead. But things are not over until it's over. But Lord, he had been dead for 4 days. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says this, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We can't see like God can see. I could, even on a perfect day, and you know what, if there was no mountains where I could see all the way to Tennessee, I could not see it. For one thing, the world is curved and I would see past the world. But I cannot see only as far as these eyes can see. God can see everything all the time. He sees everything that's going on. Listen, we need to get understanding here. Though we can't see the answer quite yet, we don't always understand the eternal part of glory of God. Yes, he wants us to lift him up and be exalted, always putting him first. But watch this. Listen. Though he wants us to be lifted high and loved, he doesn't want us to praise him out of fear, but love. Not out of fear, but love. The world should fear God because they don't have God. We should fear God because we should fear that we are not without God. But we shouldn't fear him for God. We should fear him because we love God. Reverence. Good, Josh. We should reverence God. Pastor Morris was talking about authority this morning, about children honoring your parents, how biblical it is. And we talked about it a couple weeks ago and how important that we have reverence for what the Word of God says. Always giving God glory. We should glorify God. But he doesn't want us to fear him because he's for what he's not going to do for you, or fear him for what you will lose, but fear him because you love him and the loss of him. I don't want to disappoint my God and fear to lose the relationship that I have with him. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes, we're to fear God for who he is, the beginning of knowledge, but to fear him because of who he is, God's love. Even the world is benefiting, listen, from the goodness, his love for mankind. Romans 11:29 in King James Version, I hope you got them both, girls, it says this, for the gift of God or the calling of God is without repentance, right? Oh, you're good, you're good. And that's how about, this is all about how we use our gifts. See, God's gifts are given to us at birth. It's given to us. If we're going to serve him or not. You know, if you look at football players and say, whatever happened, man, they don't serve God or whatever. Because God didn't take away their gifts. People can sing. I mean, we listened to some singing on the trip and stuff. And the voices, we talked about, what was the girl on that show, Pete? What was her name? Come on, Pete. The one that won the contest and everybody, when she first got out there, they looked at.
Six buses to get their
feet. Yeah, what was her name? The singer. Anyway, there was a singer, but when she opened her mouth, it was so beautiful that the world wrote about her. She was on one of these programs. But anyway, Susan Boyle, Boyle, whatever. And when she started to sing, this was a gift that she has within her. Each of us have a gift of some type. You might think, well, that's not a godly gift because I can lift up a hose. No, it is a gift if God give it to you, amen? But you know what? The gifts he doesn't take back. The talents he doesn't get back. It's how you use them for the glory of God is what matters. But the gifts of God are without repentance. In the King James, it says this. The New King James says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. He doesn't take them back. Things in your life, he's not going to take them back just because you don't serve God. They're already given. So God loves mankind. You don't have to be a Christian, never be a Christian just to get the benefits. Are you listening? Yet even for a while when I was a sinner, he gave his life for me. We need to understand something here. That you know what, God, I'm not just Pastor Dennis and he loves me more now. Yeah, I'm sure he loves me, but he doesn't love me any more now than the person I used to be. Are you hearing me? He doesn't love Pastor Dennis and Pastor Denise more than he loves you. He loves us the same. It's what we do with it. Watch. Before I repented and changed my life, he loved me and gave his life for me. I didn't know. Why does it seem like people yet that deny and rebuke God, living worldly lives, seem to live better than we do sometimes? I don't know. Kardashians got their own channel. Why? Who would watch it? Obviously, a lot of people. And they're miserable. Oh, my God, my new lipstick line is doing horrible, sister. Their lips are burning and stuff. How do we fix it? I need the money. Come on. But why does it seem like some people have such good lives and we struggle sometimes? God just blesses them. They're just living lives. And, you know, for the most part, a lot of them glorify God. And, you know, and people get mad when you glorify God on TV. You win the World Series and you start to talk about God, they go right to something else. They don't want to hear that. The media does not want to hear. Why? They're like rebuking God. They cheat, they steal, they kill, and God doesn't destroy them. Why? What is it? Watch. Proverbs 10 and 29 says this, the way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. In 14 and 12 says this, Proverbs, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Their ways are the way of destruction. They're destroying themselves. God is not killing them. Their lifestyles are. So right away when things start to happen, why would God let that happen? No, God's not letting anything happen. We are. We are. Our lifestyles are. There's plenty of money out there. There's plenty of water out there. There's plenty of food out there. We are. Is this not God's way? I came that they have life and life more abundant. Didn't the Lord say that in John? He first talks about the one that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's exactly how the world is today. But I have come that they have life more abundant. So God's telling us, he's telling us everything. My choosing for you is not bad life. My choosing for you is a great life. If you choose to have it. Amen? God is creating something beautiful. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are beautiful. You're beautiful. You are beautiful. You're beautiful. Jose, you're a beautiful man. There are always two ways to look at things. The positive outlook or a negative view. Last week we talked about, are you a gummy bear or a Sour Patch? Same thing. Positive outlook or negative view. Come on. The state of Arizona may have felt that they got ripped off. Listen. And when they were dividing up the land, they were probably ticked off because they got a hole in their land. Once they surveyed it, they said, man, hold on, we got ripped off. There's a big hole. Do you know that the Grand Canyon is one of the most visited places in the world today, and how much money is spent there and travel and everything else? And it's beautiful. They got one of the most beautiful parks in the world. But to the negative person, they would say, well, they got a big hole. We got ripped off. The positive look is, look how we got so beautiful, God's creation. What type of attitude, what is your outlook today? How are you looking at things? Come on. I'm not going to look at anybody in the face. Some of you are looking at me like this. The things we see are temporary. The things that then things are subject to change. What will be seen? What can be seen will usually be different soon. The things we see are subject to change. I remember Jerry Seville taught with this. He had this little devil puppet on his hand. One of the believers' conferences. There's one coming up in Arizona I'd like to make, but I don't think we can in time. But anyway, he talked about the subject of things changing and that little devil being that puppet on our hand. And there was a sermon that I never forgot, but he said the things that are seen are subject to change. What we think it is not what it is. It never is. 0% down, 0 for 6 months, 0 for that. We add it all on the end. Sure sounds good, don't it? No payments for 0 months. So that means you make your first month's payment. It's not what it seems. Are you listening? But they'll be different soon. 1 Peter 5:10 says this, but may the God of all grace who called us to this eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after, I like the question you gave me, after you have suffered a while, perfect, established, strengthened, and settled you. So when God is doing something, after he has moved things around, he is not only going to strengthen you through it, he is not only going to perfect you in it, not only after you have been through some mauling, not after the clay started to come down, not after he's added a little moisture to it, not after he started to put his little name on it, right after he starts to put you in the furnace to set you up, he will establish you. See, God is sending us somewhere. He's creating something in us. We need to see something here that nothing is done in an urgent manner like we want. Some things that urgent, when we say, God, it's urgent, and we're not getting an answer, it's not that important. Not that you're important to him, but it's not that important of a deal. He is saying, do you want it now, or do you want it the way I want it for you? Lost my spot. Define soon, Pastor. You said it's going to happen soon. Watch this. One gloomy day over the desert in Arizona, the clouds began to well up over the floor of the high desert around 7,200 feet. I've learned this by experience. And a drop of rainfall fell to the ground, followed by more drops, so that it began to develop rivers. And the erosion process began, carving out a masterpiece. After 5 million years, we can now see the beauty of God's handiwork. Soon. 5 million years. I'll be worse than that little guy like that, Gary. In 5 million years, I won't be able to see it all. Watch this. The good news is that your answer isn't going to take 5 million years. The Bible says, but after we have suffered what? A while, it's going to be just as beautiful. It took something to carve each rock. It took a certain manner for the Lord to stop places. It took a manner for, you know, the layers to be built up. See, he could have made a hole. He could have touched the ground. It would have been a hole. But there's no beauty in that. There's no perfection in that. There's not something you can look back and leave it for a while and remember it. We get a lot of things, and the next week we forget. But when God does something in your life, you remember. Some of us want God like an ATM machine. Just give me a 20. And then we get back up there and we forget he gave us a 20. George Wetter has been fighting the battle of cancer for years. And when looking when it looked like the cancer had won, God answered. Watch this. Larry, another one. Go home and die, but God. Come on. See, when man said, oh, okay, there's no, yeah, I mean, just, you know, go meet your maker. No. God. What about woman's best friend? Not you, husbands. The diamond. Nobody got that. What about woman's best friend? Never mind. This church is coming. Listen. The diamond, it takes pressure to make a diamond. Diamonds are crystals of pure carbon that have been formed under a combination of high temperatures and extreme pressure in the earth's mantle. Can anyone see how diamonds are being made under the earth? Come on, anybody got Superman vision where you can see? But do you believe in them? No, but we know that they're being made. Look at your wife's fingers. What? And of no diamonds, God's working on it. Man, women, I don't know. You missed every opportunity. That was the best opportunity to say, yeah, come on, God. Because if you ain't got no diamonds on your finger, you just missed your opportunity. You blew it. But we believe in diamonds, don't we? Well, God is creating something more beautiful than you. And maybe it's taken a lot of time and pressure, but he wants it to be lacking nothing, perfect. The Grand Canyon took 5 million years. Most of us will live to around 80 if we live good. Me, about 59 and no. God's doing something. Some of us is doing more, but know this. If you're going through a lot, greater is your beauty. The more storms go through, the more layers of beautiful rock. Diamonds. Diamonds. Come on. Psalms 27:14 says this. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Glory to God. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait. On God. Are you going through something today? Say, Lord, your perfect will be done for me. Your perfect will be done for me, God. When you tell God that, you're saying, I trust in you. You want to see God be glorified? You run my life. Your perfect will. You know, some people, they say, well, my mom didn't love me, this and that. Well, they don't know how many times mom prayed for them. I didn't have what others had. It wasn't your mama's fault. She was probably praying that you had everything that you could. She had a relationship. We don't know. We don't know what happens in life. But praise God. Praise God that you have a prayer life. To say, Lord, whatever you want to do, I choose because you're making something beautiful. My mom must have prayed because I was a hellion on wheels growing up. She must have really prayed hard. And she's still praying. I'm sure that we pray with one eye open sometimes. We all do it. Come on, Lord, help me. No, let's learn to wait on him. To relax a little bit. You know, churches, there's a difference in our church right now. You know why? Because we're waiting for God to come in. He's an honored guest in this place. For me, he's an honored guest. Two of the pastors I talked to recently said, there's a fire about you, Pastor. I said, you know why? Because I wait on God. I say, Lord, I'm not going to start or I'm not going to go before unless you're here with me. And they've caught it, and you can see it in their churches. There's a fire that's going on. So if we can just be a fire starter, praise God. Or we can question God at times, especially when things are looking really bad. Do you want a rush job or perfect, lacking nothing. Do you want a piece of coal? No, I want a diamond. Are you going to marry me? You could tell from when we started, my wife has different rings, and we look back and we say, well, we could see generations in there because you could tell the style has changed. Burr, 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 burr. Pretty soon. Come on. Hallelujah. Every day is special to me. Every day is special. My wife says it to me all the time. You're different now. You're different now. I said, well, I can't chase after you. My heart hurts. Things that were important before, you know what, aren't just that important anymore. Pleasing the Lord is the most important thing in my life. Not what I can make it, but what he wants to do with it. Come on. Every day is special. Don't let worry and discouragement steal this beautiful life Jesus has paid the price for. James 5 and 7 said this. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. We are coming into the greatest days of life. I'm not running around, jumping around, screaming, or laughing today, because not only because I'm tired, but I want you to get something and take something away today. I want you to take something from this place. If it be my last words, or if it just be something the Lord have to say to you, I say this. That God is creating something in you so beautiful in each one of you. Every one of us. And you know what? We might be going through some things. We might be saying, this just doesn't seem right, God. I don't know why I keep finding myself in this same place. I don't know why this is going on. You know what? Know this, that your coal is becoming a diamond. Do you know the coal burns, right? They used to run this country on coal. It has fire, has something in there for fire. But under that pressure, that thing that is so volatile, sometimes our anger makes it so ugly, but that's fuel, the wrong kind of fuel. There's a fuel, and coal is ugly. It's dirty, it's ugly. But it burns. And there's sometimes, and it's our attitude, it's our heart, we're like coal, but it still burns. But you know what? God is saying, I'm doing something under pressure. I'm squeezing that out today. I'm squeezing all those things that are not right. I'm squeezing your soul. I'm squeezing your spirit this morning. And I'm turning you into a diamond. Only something that God can do. He is changing things in our life this morning. He is creating something beautiful. He was knocking down the ridges and the sharp parts of your mountains. He's creating a beautiful thing in each one of us. Who wants to be a diamond this morning? I do. You are beautiful. Y'all beautiful. I can't sing it. Let's stand this morning.